Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:06 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and Doug on your left is Ben Fredrickson.
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Ben.
He writes columns on STLtoday.com.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be back.
The Sea Monster is here. Iggy is here. The Plowhawk is here. And it's press conference Wednesday, in which, Doug, we open up the appliance discounter phone lines.
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
Well, some of the questions are inappropriate.
And the listeners, Ben, I don't know if this is your first press conference Wednesday, ask questions. And since we have all the answers because we're on the radio and we have all the power because I can immediately disconnect somebody if they say something I don't like and then insult them, we have the upper hand, but it's an opportunity for listeners to interact with three real stars. And I hope that doesn't come off the wrong way.
No, you,
right,
Doug, and
yeah.
Posse.
I don't think you care how it comes off when you've reached our level of fame.
Hold on.
And importance.
Some people they get off on that. They call in and then you hang up on them and that makes them feel good.
Right. It's like getting blocked on Twitter and then screenshotting that you're blocked.
Yeah, that's the level that you're at.
What an ass. He blocked me.
They're like, I mean, they are lemmings to the point of wanting to run off the cliff. They want to get blocked. They want to get hung up on.
Lemming's going to lemming. I also have a piece of meat stuck in my teeth.
Hmm.
Oh.
Well, I'm just setting the stage for the show.
When did you, from when, last night?
Great question, Ben. You're off to an awesome start. That's why this press conference Wednesday is going to be sick today. Iggy and I, Doug, we were going to play 10 practice rounds before the Fan Pin Club Championship at Normandy.
Wow.
And yesterday we went out there and we wanted to focus on the greens and the slope, and I kind of went out there with some diagrams to try and get
Jose
an idea.
Okindo.
Drawings? You had drawings.
Drawings.
Secret weapon-like. Spray charts.
That's right, on my chess charts. And so I'm like, okay, Iggy, this one looks like it goes, you know, back to front. That's okay. So I'll position my 8-iron here. I'll go through my scorecard for you, Doug. First hole.
Oh, if you could. Fascinating stuff.
I did, man. Iggy, how come your microphone doesn't work? Check, is Plowhawk check. Trying to send a message?
Check, check. Did
we
check.
Have,
this isn't working either?
This one is. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I can't hear.
One nurse. Of them doesn't work.
Nurse.
Yeah, hello? Tim had an eagle yesterday.
Yeah, I did,
Tim,
Doug.
But I mean, Tim will beat Jadam this in his match.
Here we go.
I don't know about that.
He's the best golfer in the world, too.
Jay knows the course like better than anyone.
Jay knows that I love him to death, but I think Timmy, with the strokes he'll be getting, there's some holes.
I don't know that you can unbiasedly talk about
like
Tim's
the
strokes.
The first hole playing from the whites is the one handicap hole, and you can drive
Doug, I did find out we're playing from the whites.
Don't bring the whites into this.
If you're so darn good, then
let the STL Today commenters handle that.
You shouldn't get all these shots if you're so darn good.
You guys playing with Dorothy?
Dorothy Light, St. Chuck. Iggy, if you can get Janine and Dorothy Light on in the same show when I get back from Hilton Head, I think we'll be golden grams. I think we'll be golden grams, Jack. So, first hole anyway, Doug. Drive down the middle. I think I had about 96 in.
My favorite hole in the property.
Oh, stop it. And you know exactly 96 yards because you'd hit it differently if you were 95 yards away.
Probably would have adjusted.
Yeah.
Probably would have adjusted.
Sure.
And left it, you know, below the hole, which is what you want to do. Have a nice uphill putt. Left the putt short, tapped in for par, so we're even through one.
Okay.
So on to number two. And we'll just do the front nine in the 7 o'clock hour.
Oh, if we could. Because we're all so anxious to hear, shot by shot, exactly how it went at Normandy.
But you know what? We wound up, who would have guessed, but Cletus was out there doing research for his match as well. Iggy, who's Cletus playing?
What research? Hit the ball straight.
I think he's playing Shaq Lady.
Doug, is he playing Billy Shaq Lady?
I have no clue.
You don't think a guy named Billy Shaq Lady exists, but I'm telling you,
he exists. No, I don't think
he does. I thought I was playing Shaq Lady, but I think Cletus is.
Now, who are you playing?
I don't know.
Now, you're in the tournament, but you're
still
pulling
trying
for
to get
Tim.
Somebody to carry his
well,
bag.
His first
remember?
Right. For Tim.
That's right.
Even if I play Tim in the finals, I'll root for Tim. I'll probably throw a few holes.
Sure you will.
Oh, my God. Have some self-respect, Iggy.
Clip that off. Doug, it's the Design Air 7 o'clock hour. We're going shot by shot through our round yesterday.
The only thing more fascinating than that is to hear everything about someone else's fantasy baseball team.
Do you want me to get into that?
Please, or fantasy God, no. football team. Yeah. Oh, let me tell you about my team. I don't want to hear it. And I don't really want to hear about every shot you had over 18 holes at Normandy.
But it'll help for, well, it was going to be Mrs. Dotem and Scott's wrinkled ball sack on my bag.
Right.
But now it looks like PGA Pro Dan will be carrying my bag.
And also playing.
Right.
But now
we're not really sure how that works.
Bones McKay is available also.
I was wondering if I could get Bones. Would that piss off PGA Pro Dan?
I don't think
perhaps.
It would.
Well, yeah,
I think it'd make this hole look so pretty.
Stop it.
They could switch off at 9, right?
Yeah. I'll have PGA Pro Dan on the front and Bones on the back.
There's no way Jay Jr. was out there like spying on you. Was he out there?
Did you notice him out there at all, Iggy?
No,
he was home with a KOB
in his hand.
I'm
by the
into
time
big
we got
jugs.
Plowhawk is orchestrating a symphony back there. He really is.
I'll give Jay a shout out though. The greens are perfect.
The course is in outstanding shape. It's a great course to play, Normandy. So I see everybody wants to play, and they want broadcasts of it on June 30th. Are you guys going to cover it on Cam?
No. Here's your answer to that.
If you pay me a little bit, I'll go around with a Facebook Live. I actually have the code to like the STL Today.
Can you imagine?
Facebook account. I'll just stream it live to the STL Today account
without
telling anybody.
So going for 4.5 hours.
Well, until they cut it off. Yeah, okay. Probably lasts about one hole.
Plowboy, I really would like to have you and Larry do Facebook Live on some of these matches. I think it would be pathetically well watched.
So are we doing just like similar to what Golf Network would do, like sideline reporting basically for each shot?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to. Now, I'll check, but I don't think we're going to be able to build a few towers around the greens and then have like
a
main
styling.
Host.
Right, like, okay.
Right. So I think you just follow the group, maybe get Larry a cart, just kind of, yeah. You know, trying to play out the hand. And you guys kind of drive along and give your analysis and allow the people who might be at work or who might have like family responsibilities who can't get to Normandy or the people who are like overseas.
They do it for the troops.
Thank you. So they can watch it. And you guys can give your commentary. I know Larry studied golf broadcasting at Lewis and Clark.
You put them on different holes. You get Nixie and Plowsy and Iggy, and they'll be on first hole, second hole, third hole, and the guy who did one will move to four. And
you've done a little television,
you
sir.
You can say over to you at 13, Rossi.
Can Joe Buck get in on this?
I would think he'd want
to. Surely he could be a mentor.
I would think he'd want to.
This is just your first round match.
Right.
Heaven forbid your father fixes this, and you advance all the way to the finals.
That's a serious charge, sir.
Can we do fan interaction? You know, they're going to be a big gallery.
Yeah, Doug, what do you think the gallery size will be?
I don't think anyone will be there to watch it. Not a soul will be there.
I completely disagree.
Might be somebody from the other fairway looking for his golf ball, but he's not there watching your match.
Iggy believes somebody stole my ball yesterday.
It was Iggy.
No, Iggy was in the cart with me.
Yeah, Timmy hit a shot, and we knew exactly where it was, in the area where it was.
Doug, I call that the vicinity.
Yeah, right. So we're looking, and it's nowhere to be found. So there were two gentlemen. And the tell was when Timmy said, "You guys see a ball?" And the guy said, "What color?"
And was it white?
Tim said, "It was a white one."
I did say it was a white one. I couldn't have been more serious when I answered it.
He said, "Well, we didn't see a white one." So as we're driving away, I said, "Well, then what did he find? A yellow one?" So Timmy's just getting ready to drop one. These guys pulled their cart across the fairway, and all of a sudden he goes, "Hey, hitting a Titleist? It's over here." So you know the guy just pulled out of his pocket and just drove in. Here's over here. He was trying to steal Timmy's Pro V1.
Right.
But felt bad about it.
He couldn't do it right in front of him, so he had to drive the car.
That's respectable, though. I mean, at least he did give it back.
Added some yardage to the shot, though, Doug. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that.
He had a double bogey. He went from an open shot to had
a lot of shrubs.
Over some shrubs.
Mm. A lot of shrubs.
It's probably an inexperienced golfer who asks you what color was the ball you hit.
Well, Bubba's playing pink balls these days. Iggy, you play pink balls, don't you?
I do, but I'm out. I'm out of pink balls.
Why would you play with pink golf balls?
Well, Bridgestone sent me some Lady Precepts.
Well, they saw his Missouri State women's golf bag, and they said, "You look like a guy who'd play with pink golf balls."
Oh, Bubba hits them. They're nice. They're good balls, actually. Now I'm hitting the white Bridgestones because I'm out of the pink.
Do you ever have any buddies who just take the range balls and use those?
Yes.
God. Doug?
Yeah, I've lost so many balls on a certain round, I'll reach into my bag and find one with a stripe on it. That'll do.
And then that one, you never hit that one into the water.
No.
It'll last forever.
Right.
KG in O-Town says, I will be there to watch. I'm going to piss off Vaughn. That's from KG in O-Town.
He won't be there.
So anyway, we play Normandy. And, you know, in order to get back to Carport Village, I take 170, 40, the whole shooting match. Taking 170 at around 5:36 at night is...
Yeah,
that's a delight.
Mm-hmm.
Southbound in particular. They didn't really orchestrate that whole project too well.
When they redid 40?
Right. The 170 thing to head on 40, 64 eastbound from 170 is just a cluster. But whatever. Anyway, it's what caused the... Who cares? So I'm thinking to myself, I text Anna Marie and I said, hey, woman... Because I try to treat her right. And I said, hey, woman, I'm in Salt and Smoke's nape of the woods, neck of the way. What are you doing here? And I say, you want anything from Salt and Smoke? And I thought, you know, maybe 7 months pregnant, she might be craving that brisky.
Mm-hmm.
But she had already had something ready to go. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I don't like to go in the loop, really, at kind of a rush hour time, it's always so hard to find a parking spot. Mm. You agree with me, Ben?
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I don't think that trolley's going to make anything easier either.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
not a big fan of the trolley.
Trolley investment.
Just walk, people.
Arch investment, I don't understand. But I digress. So I get my brisket, and it's a delicious, delicious treat. Salt and Smoke is the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And damn it if it isn't the best. But I'll tell you what, I got a piece of that brisket right in the back here, back left, and I have the tongue of a hummingbird, as you know.
That's it.
But That's it.
Why would we know what your tongue gives?
Doug, you know, you don't, Ben. Doug does. He's doing it. Yeah.
That's how it goes. Well, do you brush your teeth at all, Tim?
I've been brushing my teeth and flossing like the Dickens to try and get this thing, and I'll just be honest with you, I can't get this piece of brisket out of my teeth.
Do you have a dental pick? Do you have some sort of dental pick?
I'm sure there's a listener out there who'd come and try to get it out for you.
Yeah, maybe with their tongue.
Never know.
No, you can get yourself a little dental pick and pick away at it.
But what do they have, those water picks?
I can't
stop. You need a pressurized stream of water back there.
I can't get it out. So anyway, I'd like to dedicate the show to the piece of brisket in the back left.
Have you tried just a toothpick?
Oh, I like that. Growing up in South City, a lot of guys would wear like wife beaters and have toothpicks and just kind of walk around the neighborhood.
But in this case,
I miss that. It kind of now when I watch like movies about the Bronx in the 50s, it makes me think of South City in the 80s.
There's nothing wrong with grabbing a toothpick on the way out of a restaurant. And I have this fight with my fiance all the time. She thinks
you guys argue about toothpicks.
She thinks I'm a power hoosier because I go and we go and have a nice meal. And if there's a toothpick at the front on the way out, I'm taking at least one.
Yeah,
probably two or three.
I respect that.
Couple to put in my pocket.
They don't like that though. The women.
She thinks
it's that.
Yeah. She thinks it's not good.
No.
My God, I had to
grab one for me
and
one for my mom.
What?
When I'm with my mom, I grab one for me and one for her. That's classy. That's what any respectful son would do.
Doug Curtis Sanford's Greasy Five Hole says, my God, I had to pull over when I heard Doug make that sound.
Why? That's just Tim's hummingbird tongue.
What? Cut that off. Of course, Tim's playing with Pro V1 balls. Those are the best. Thanks. That's from the 636.
Okay.
How does Iggy hide his boner while in the cart with Tim? That's from Adonis Jordan. Doug, he played at Kansas, I think late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I think, pretty good player. Are you guys good enough to actually know the difference in golf balls that you hit?
Actually, I usually don't play Pro V1s. I play Callaway golf ball for some reason. I don't know. I mean, what does it matter? I mean, I'm firing up.
When you hit a good shot, you do. I don't
really?
I don't
know. You think so?
No, you don't.
I don't hit any good shots.
But you don't know.
I can't tell.
Yeah, you can tell.
No,
really? How do you tell?
Just the flight of the ball.
Doug, do you notice your trajectory?
Well, I know the flight of the ball is how well I hit it more than the ball.
That's what I'm
proper.
Saying. But if you hit a Pro V1 and then say you go hit a Srixon. Or
a what?
Srixon.
Oh, you're down on Graham McDowell, huh?
Yeah. Well, I used to get those for free, too, so I play whatever I get for free.
How do you get them for free?
Well, I did a golf show with Jay and Smitty for a long time. Oh. We got all kinds of free
fairways stuff. And greens, sir. That's fairways right. And greens.
But you can tell the trajectory. You can tell the trajectory of a ball.
Very nice.
I would say the guys who cover golf get the most free swag out of anybody, any sport. I mean, the Post-Dispatch, it's got this mail bin, and it's just overflowing with stuff. It's just golf stuff.
We'll bring it in here. We'll give it away for prizes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or for ourselves.
Dan O'Neill?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll Dano is not even there anymore, and he still gets... You'd be amazed by the amount of stuff that comes in.
Like what?
Just, they send him all
clubs.
Kinds of stuff.
I need clubs. You got any clubs?
Get Doug an epic driver.
No clubs?
I don't think so.
I need new clubs.
Hey, Tim, I'm going to Salt and Smee tonight so I can get brisket stuck in my teeth, too. You're the best. Signed, token white guy at the end of the bench.
Come on. Was that NBA player?
Chad Huffman?
It might have been. It might have been. I think that was Ryan Kiernan.
Chad Huffman.
Doug, the Kirkland golf balls from Costco are noticeably different, 10 to 15 yards longer off the tee than the Pro V1.
I don't know. I just think you have to be awfully good to know, really, the difference in the golf balls.
Well, what do you mean awfully good? Like, I mean, I'm not that pro good. But if I level. Hit a good drive, if I'm playing well and I hit a good drive, I can tell if I hit a ball that I usually hit. And then if I go to a different brand and I hit a good drive and it's like 30 yards shorter, the trajectory is higher.
Yes.
And I'm not that good. So well, usually I'm not talking
trajectory
about
has more to do with your stance, or how you swung, how you hit it, than the golf ball, doesn't it?
Yes, but you can see a golf ball take off. It all has to do with the softness and the core and all that stuff. I don't, you know, I'm not good enough to say a golf ball is going to make a difference in my game, but there are certain shots you hit. If you hit a good shot and you have a crappy golf ball, you can tell.
All right.
Doug, this will shave strokes off your game. Also wearing pants will shave 4 strokes off your game.
Well, I would think you'd have to hit it in a hurry if you had no pants on at all.
No.
You just want to hit it and
pants
get back in the cart.
Pants versus shorts. Pants versus shorts. Oh. He always wears pants. It shaves 4 strokes off his game.
You think so?
I don't wear shorts till I get my legs tan.
Oh, please.
And I haven't been to the pool yet this year, so.
Your thoughts, 855-282-8255. It's press conference Wednesday. Call in with your questions.
I just don't like white legs. I mean, it looks stupid in shorts wearing with white legs.
What do you do about the socks? Because golfers oftentimes get that weird sock tan line.
You just wear low socks that cover your ankles.
How do you tan your legs, guy?
Either the pool or gardening.
Yeah, gardening.
You just kind of hang out there and pull weeds or something?
Yeah, a lot of shrubs.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Doug, pinnacle off tee, Pro V on in like a G. That's from Hulk Hogan's fanny pack.
Well, that's cheating. That would be cheating.
I think it is. I think it is. The Royal and Ancient and Cletus would say that's cheating.
You can't change the ball in the middle of the hole unless you lose a ball.
Nice. Guys, I play the orange Strode balls. They aren't as tight, tend to have bad sunspots, and are rough as 3M sandpaper, but boy, do they zoom when you get a hold of them. Thanks. That's from Timmy Recaps.
Funny.
Hey guys, how goes it? Sorry I've been active lately. I've been living in Doug's butt. That's from Ray King.
Great one, Ray. I'm not even going to pick up the pen to suspend
you. It was
you.
Weak,
so
yeah.
So lame.
Not impressed.
Timmy Recaps needs to make up his mind here because there were a couple texts yesterday where he wanted to bang me, and then the text came in that he makes fun of me. So make up your mind. One or
Doug,
the other.
Can you bang somebody you want to make fun of?
I don't think so.
Did you know that, you know, that obviously you're trying to do that?
What was that?
What was that? That was recent stuff. Was that when like somebody hit like a bunch of home runs in a game? Is that Scooter Gennett game?
Yeah, that was the Cincinnati Reds version of the cat. One of the worst sideline interviews I've ever seen.
Did you know that you were trying to do that?
Yeah,
that was his question.
He's just mind blowing. See, Scooter hit 4 out. You don't really. Your brain just kind of goes to mush.
Doug, did you know that Costco Kirkland balls got in trouble for actually being Pro V1s? Thanks. That's from the Ledoux Lemming. That might be a fun little investigative piece.
It's not that fun, really. Is somebody trying to rip off someone else's trademark? Probably. I don't know. I just don't.
Might be a fun little investigative piece.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the West. It's hard to stop a train. And coming up on the program today, Doug, Rick Hummel will be with us. He's a Hall of Fame Cardinal baseball reporter. Did a story this morning in the Post-Dispatch on the best and worst stadiums, and I'm looking forward to discussing that with him that he has been to, and he has obviously been to them all. Jack, I would imagine he's been to them all. And then also Hank Levins is going to join us.
I see that. This is the guy I went to grade school and high school with, and I mentioned yesterday that he once stole an inbounds pass and had an open layup to win the game, but he called timeout because the coach told him, if we get the ball, it's called timeout. I just mentioned that in passing, and now I look up and I see Hank. I guess he'd like to defend himself.
Are you going to hold him accountable
40 years later?
Are you going to hold him accountable for this?
I guess I should.
He just listens to the show?
I don't know.
Everybody listens to the show.
Sea Monsters, it's probably
a fake. The exception of 99% of the
area.
What
do you think this really is?
It's probably a fake.
Yeah, Sea Monster, how confident are you that this is actually... Hank reached out to us via the text line yesterday.
Well, who couldn't? Anybody could. And say, I'm Hank. Anybody could do that.
Sea Monster's giggling.
This will probably be Caller Adam at 8:20.
I would imagine.
It's Mike Lee.
So a heads up for that. Also, Hot Shots email of the day. Am I right that Stephen Wildwood has a 2-point lead now? This now is kind of getting to a point where it gets a little serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he's going to win a couple of sandwiches.
Well, he's going to stop the Misty Plops run.
Oh.
He now is at a point where his magic number is 6 to clinch the June Hot Shots email of the month. And if you know Misty Plops, you know Misty Plops is going to ratchet his game up today. Stephen Wildwood can pull ahead by 3 with a win. And then a lot of people say, keep an eye on Matt who bowls at Hank's. Here's a guy who has the ability, but hasn't been able to put it together on Sundays in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have made the Ricky Fowler comparison. They know it's there, but they question whether or not he has the killer instinct. And then there's Misty Plops. Ah, Plops. How will he respond to being down 2 with only 8 shows remaining in the month of June? I would imagine he will rise to the occasion. We'll find out at 9:45.
Boy, that stage has been set now. Man, when you paint a picture, you paint.
Nice.
You reached for all the colors on the palette there.
Nice take.
Man, I feel like I really know what's shaping up now on this email thing. Really exciting.
Let's see what we
fun
got here. We had a good conversation last night on the fan page. Well, I see that Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man's posting pictures of either his feet with pink painted toenails or his fiance's feet. Do you have a problem with that at all?
Can't you tell if it's
a
man or
woman? You might be the best I've ever worked with.
Can't you tell if it's a man or a woman's foot?
Really? I don't know.
Well, usually I think you probably could.
Oh, my.
Ben Fred has just discovered the picture.
Huh.
Well, you know Dave Mills?
No, I don't know Dave Mills.
He writes, your feet have a very feminine quality. And then Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man says, it's odd. Although I have a very manly appearance, my size 5 feet make me look dainty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to sit this one out.
People think that sometimes I have a foot fetish.
But they're wrong.
Right.
It's merely it's an admiration, and it's so darn mild, it's almost not even worth mentioning.
Let's see. And then there's the Buck Swope Photoshop thing with Iggy and Scott's wrinkled ball sacks wife and Big Al.
Big Al got a lot of good response on his pineapple cart.
Yeah, I wonder why he chose I guess at grocery stores, they give little tiny carts for either babies or people like me in order for them to push around.
Well, if he's just going to get a few items.
Yeah, but this looks like it goes up to Big Al's knee. So I think it's to make a kid feel like they're shopping and being like their parents. I guess. I don't know. I'll tell you more about this in a couple of years.
And that's what
Chinooks
he got.
Is called Shopper in Training. And the
that was called?
The
Look
little,
at you knowing.
The little kids get the...
How do you know this?
Don't Iggy, you shouldn't talk about that.
Well, what the hell? I go to Schnucks and I see
the
carts.
You know what they're going to say.
855-285.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw young kids with their mom and dad at Schnucks. I shouldn't be going there.
Wow.
It's just a little green cart that says Shopper in Training, and the little kids get to act like they're shopping.
Well, either way, for whatever reason, Big Al took a picture of himself, and as opposed to putting the pineapple in his cart, he took the baby cart and put the pineapple in there and then took a picture with it.
Mm.
So that might be a court case at some point, like St. Louis. I don't know. But that's on there as well. But then we had a nice discussion on the Cardinals. And I think last night might be the game that we look back on when this team wins 78 games and go, that was the turning point.
Yeah.
That was the one. Phillies are just a game and a half back of the Nationals in the National League East. Have one of the best lineups
That's
in the game.
Bad information there.
Excuse me?
That's bad information.
It feels like they are.
They feel exactly. Yeah. That's what I...
Okay.
And Cardinals have had a tough time with the Phillies, Marlins, and Braves. They've only lost 0 times. against him. So there was an article yesterday, and I guess this is kind of going on, and I guess I'm out of the loop on this. Ben, you are probably more in the loop on it. And a number of people, write blogs. Are blogs still kind of going on, or did that die off?
No, they're still going.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, are they making money?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the blogs have ever been making money.
That's something that I should have looked into in 2005 when I decided to write for 10 years.
I'm a newspaper writer. I'm worried about making money.
Right. You're all about the truth.
And the craft.
Right. Exposing corruption.
Really, money taints you.
Right. In fact, you'd probably just assume do it for nothing.
Exactly. It's public service.
But somebody wrote a column I'm going to call it Doug, a deep dive.
All right.
On Matt Adams' recent comments. Then reading between the lines on said comments. He said in a post-game interview on Fox Sports, I guess it's Atlanta.
South, right?
That, is it Fox Sports South?
I think so.
I'm having fun playing the game again. And people that open their eyes. And then here's the Braves manager. And I think this is Glenn Hubbard or Bobby Cox, because when I saw the name pop up, I thought, oh, this guy must have like won a contest because I've never heard of him before. But here is whoever that man is talking about Matt Adams.
Sorry, hit the lever, Plowsy.
We talk about Matt Adams all the time. Has he been better than you could have even?
Yeah, probably has. I mean, and, you know, I got texts from guys that told me, said, you know, he'll hit lefties if you let him. And, you know, from teammates of his that I've known for years. So it's just, you know, he's getting the opportunity, and he's been a huge, huge part of our team here ever since he got here. It's great to see.
So the focus really of the soundbite from the Braves manager is, I've received texts from former teammates of his, and he's only played with one organization, unless it could have been Legion Ball in Pennsylvania.
No, I don't think that's what they
Slippery
meant.
Rock?
Might have been Slippery Rock, see? That he can hit lefties if he gets the opportunity. And then Matt Adams is saying, I'm having a lot of fun playing the game again. And so I don't think it's a drastic leap to then deduce, and it might not be accurate, but I think it's a reasonable position to take, that he was saying he wasn't having fun before, but that, and that's kind of all you were on the bench and you weren't having much success, you know, it would be understood if you weren't having fun. And really, in the whole scheme of things, you know, whether or not a player is having fun, I don't know how important that is, although I would realize it can become a narrative when a team is not playing well. But secondarily, and perhaps more important, is the idea that the Braves manager just said there, that former teammates of Adams, i.e. current Cardinal players, or perhaps people who are with the organization, who are no longer with the organization, are of the opinion that he can hit left-handed pitchers. He just hasn't gotten the opportunity. So if you keep him in there against lefties, and they have, he's been starting every game.
Well, did you see the news last night?
That Freddie Freeman's willing to play third base when he comes back to keep Adams in the lineup. Adams has been that good. So that there, if we can ISO on that part, would be, as some fans in this particular blog, redbirdrants.com is the one that was posted. I want to make sure I credit it properly, are suggesting that is an indictment of whether it be Mike Matheny, John Mozeliak, John Mabry, whomever, that Adams did not get the opportunity to truly find out if, from the organization perspective, if he could hit major league pitching from the left side, left-handed pitching.
I think Matt's probably having a lot of fun, a ton of fun. I don't think he was not having fun in St. Louis. Obviously, he wanted to play more. I think Matt really liked it here. I think he liked his teammates. I think he was legitimately sad in a lot of ways to be shipped out, because it's the first team he's played for. It's the only team he's played for. And I think he's going to, you know, he has a lot of good friendships with those guys. I think that's legitimate. I don't think he was wanting a trade necessarily. He would have liked to play. That's why you're a major leaguer. You want to play.
Yeah.
And also, The comment about that he can hit lefties if you let him, I think when I read it on Twitter, I thought, oh, this sounds like he's taking a shot. But I don't, when I heard the audio, it didn't sound as much.
Well, who would have been taking a shot there?
Well, it kind of sounded as if it was presented online, as if, when I saw it on Twitter yesterday, as if the Braves manager was kind of coming like,
oh, no.
Like this guy is like this guy's better than the Cardinals.
I didn't take that at all. No. I didn't take that at all. I take it as specifically, which I think is understandable. And I don't even know if it's a shot from the players who, per the Braves manager, and we'll get his name in the 9 o'clock hour.
Just call him Skip.
Per Skip, that Cardinal players are saying, if he's given the opportunity, he can hit left-handed pitchers, Doug. And as you know, that's Brian Snitker.
Yo, Snitzy. Yo.
I think there are a lot of guys who thought Adams was probably underused on the team. I mean, but
which then goes back to this. So there's a couple things. There's a couple ways I want to discuss this, because I wound up, I don't know why I was doing it. I was high on brisket, I think, is why. So I wound up actually talking baseball on the Fan Pin last night, kind of an homage to 2005, and was getting into, because people then were taking that article, which cited the having fun thing to indicate that, you know, something's wrong in the clubhouse, and then also as an indictment of take your pick, or all three, John Mozeliak, Mike Matheny, John Mabry. Now, here is where I am on a couple of things, and I hope I can stay focused. It's kind of like one of Larry Nichols' Facebook chats. When the comments start popping up, I might wander into a dissertation on Chasey Lane's getting kicked out of a car in Cyprus yesterday in California.
Okay, focus.
So the first thing is this. I recall when I first started doing radio, and I cringe when I listen to some of these things, because if you think I'm an ass now, oh my God, 15 years ago. But one of my things was to put a lot of value, and undeservingly so, now with the benefit of, you know, 15 years since, on whether or not guys got along and or whether or not guys were having fun. And I've told this story. I've told this story with Jim Edmonds sitting in the studio with me. So it's not like I'm speaking out of school. If he didn't want me to say it, I wouldn't say it. But we've talked about it, so therefore it is fair game. The final week of the 2006 season, I was doing a hit on ESPN. I think it was on Stephen A. Smith's show. I'd go down to the studios at Channel 9, and then we would like argue about stuff. You know what they're doing now. And so I said to Edmonds, who had been a part of, bought in to Inside STL in 2005, 2006, I guess early 2006, I said, hey, I'm going on ESPN. I think it'd be helpful if I could say, hey, I spoke with Jim Edmonds, because the Cardinals, if you remember, were in the midst of an epic collapse at the end of the 2006 season. And it looked like they actually weren't even going to make the playoffs. And they had a huge lead, and they were on the verge of an epic collapse. And, of course, a month later, they wind up winning the World Series. So I said, is there anything I can say? I spoke to Jim Edmonds, and he said this. And he goes, you want the truth? And I said, of course. And he goes, this team's a mess. I can't wait for the season to be over. It's broken up in cliques. Nobody's getting along. We miss Mark Grzelanik. I remember him saying that. I'm going, Mark Grzelanik.
Grzy.
Yeah, whatever. Now we have Ronnie Belliard. Not that he was complaining about Belliard. He's just saying we miss Grzelanik. We miss some leadership figures. Can't wait for the season to be over. Literally a month to the day, there's a picture of Edmonds on the Busch Stadium field during the World Series parade celebration, hoisting the World Championship trophy. So I tell that story, and you can think of other teams throughout the course of history. A lot of people, and I wasn't, you know, aware of this stuff when it was going on. I was so young, but what, like the 1970s Yankees teams, you know, as they called them, the Bronx Zoo. There have been a number of teams that didn't necessarily get along. Now, that 2006 team came together health-wise, but also chemistry-wise over the course of October. So my point is, the fun thing, guys getting along, I think it gets overvalued because nobody's ever going to comment about it on the inside. So it's a fun narrative to play. Fun in the sense that it's safe, because you're never going to wind up being proven wrong. And so much of online dialogue these days is never admitting you were wrong. And then secondarily was the, and I see it coming back, which is surprising to me. This one surprised me. I get people talking about clubhouse chemistry and guys not having fun. I get that, because they see the manager and he doesn't exactly exude fun. But, you know, Bill Belichick isn't exactly rolling balls when he's on the sidelines in New England, and it seems like things are working fine there. But is the Bill DeWitt is cheap thing? And I'm just like, are we really running that offense? Like, are you really going to do that? Or is it just selective perception on this? On that one, and I used to say it. And I feel like, you know, even though I don't like that I said it now because I feel like I've been proven wrong since, at the time, I think one could make a better case on it in 2002, 2003 than they can in 2017. And so, in other words, fans are saying, some fans are saying, so much of what's going on is they don't care. They just want to get people in the ballpark. It's not about winning. And I just have to respect, and I'm not on Fox Sports Midwest, and I don't have to go down to the ballpark and get interviews. So I have absolutely no skin in this game. I'm as out of the loop on, you know, needing to service the Cardinals in order to get access as it gets, because I don't do it. But I have done it, and therefore I have observed it, and I don't know how one could look at Bill DeWitt and go, that's a cheap owner. They've come up short on some free agents, and really when it gets down to it, whether you want to talk about Pujols and the offseason of 11 or David Price recently or Jason Hayward, I think we'd all say good thing that they did come up short. But which, if anything, speaks more to talent evaluation than financials. But the point on it is that's coming back in as well. And so if you want to either fire Mike Matheny, John Mabry, John Mozeliak, or chastise Bill DeWitt, even though I'm by no means a big fan of Mike Matheny's postseason strategy and some of the roster construction from recent Cardinal postseason runs, and I truly think it played a role in losses that should not have happened, specifically 14 against the Giants and 13 against the Red Sox, and I think that's really bad, to blow up or to whack somebody when the Cardinals are perhaps at the end of what has been a 15-16 season run of consistent, not only competitive baseball, but four world championship appearances and two world championships in all but like 4 years of playoff appearances. I would consider that an emotional overreaction to what has been an underperforming team. So that has become a bit of a narrative I've seen, and I don't often really get in these sports discussions, hardcore sports discussions, because I recognize them as emotional, and I understand it. But when it gets down to it for these guys, the reality is, which is difficult for fans, including myself, I would call myself a fan, to understand, and also for ownership and management and GMs and front offices, is that it is a business. And as I also cited last night, I would text Edmonds like in 2005, you know, 2006, and be like, what are you up to? And he's like, I'm on my way to work. And I thought he was just being like facetious. But that's what it was. He was on his way to work. Now, if I text somebody or somebody texts me at 6:45, what are you doing? I'm on my way. I'm still probably at home at 6:45. Let's say 6:55. And they text me, what are you doing? I'm on my way to work. Oh, that stupid thing you do in the morning. Mm-hmm. But it is a job. And so whether or not guys are having fun is not necessarily because the clubhouse isn't like some kind of 2016 Chicago Cubs carnival, but it's because they're having success individually. Ideally, the team has success as well, but for the vast majority of guys in Major League Baseball, they're playing to make money. And while plenty have contracts that do take care of them, there's also many who don't, and they're just trying to stay with a team. And if that doesn't work out, just like Marco Gonzalez's spot start last week, they're auditioning to try and get with another major league club. And so I want to enter this, you know, personal series of anecdotes into the discussion to attempt to point out this team's just not very good. And that doesn't mean it's anybody's fault. But if you look at the 2006 Cardinals, you had Albert Pujols, Jim Edmonds, Scott Rolen, you had Chris Carpenter, and you had Adam Wainwright, who became as shut down as it gets in September and October. And you also had the World Series MVP and David Eckstein. I don't know if there's a guy in the 2017 Cardinals who you would take over any of those guys, with the exception of Carlos Martinez. And so that was an 83-win team, by the way. Granted, it dealt with injuries, but that was an 83-win team. So if we can, and I'm not saying this is everyone by any means, but it is becoming a little more loud, and it probably will become louder once they get done with the Pirates and Reds and in this fascinating two-game series remaining with the Phillies, that they're just not really good. And that happens after 16 years of being pretty damn good. The thing that will fascinate me, however, is not whether or not there's internal turmoil, but how the organization handles the fact that they're not very good. And we'll get a much better, that'll be a hell of a lot more interesting than seeing how they handle the Phillies tonight in front of 6,000 people. Whether or not the organization can and is willing to sell, because that is what the organization needs to do to get back to the run that began in 2000 and really went through, if you want to count 2016, but at the very least 2015, is to get some young talent back in the organization and recognize some of the assets you had high hopes for, or assets that are no longer going to be with the team in 4 months, have value now that they will not have on August 1st. And you've got to maximize that return. That is the end of my monologue for the day.
Well, they're not having fun because they're not winning games. I mean, it's fun to win. It's not fun to be, you know, third, fourth in the standings and realize and have your coaches get fired and your general manager say, if this team doesn't look good in 6 weeks, we're going to be sellers. I mean, that's not exactly a fun environment. It doesn't matter. It's not clubhouse turmoil. It's the fact that your team stinks. And Matt Adams is having fun because he's playing the best baseball he's ever played. I agree with everything you said there, Tim, but I think it's the people are taking this Adams comment and turning it into the fact like it's an indictment of what his situation was in St. Louis. Like, he's speaking out against the clubhouse culture in St. Louis. And to me, it's like, no, the guy's hitting, slugging .635 with the Braves, and he's a career .467 slugging percentage. I mean, he's playing the best baseball ever in a new city where they can't get enough of him. I mean, when Freddie Freeman's talking about moving positions, you're on a bit of a hot streak here. I think that to me is what it just spoke to, what he's doing in Atlanta, and not exactly how bad things were for him in St. Louis. He wasn't happy in St. Louis because he wasn't playing.
I don't know, you know, one of the things, and somebody responded, and it was a good discussion. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed having it. Like I said, I was high on brisket, and I've still got one piece in my mouth. But a gentleman responded, well, Adams didn't get a fair shake here. And I think a few people are saying that, and he played 428 games from 2013 through 2016, and he was injured for a good portion of one of those seasons, which is why the number isn't higher. Of a possible 600, what's the math on that, 162 times 2, Doug, it's 3...
Yeah, it's a lot of games.
28, so...
it doesn't matter.
56. Is that 686? Is that 656?
It doesn't really matter. He played a lot.
So 428 games is a lot for your sample size.
Yeah.
And he did struggle against left-handers. Now, what is his best moment in St. Louis Cardinal history? Home it was off of the greatest left-handed pitcher of the last however many, many years, minus Jaime Garcia.
But there were times when he just flailed against lefties. He was hopeless.
And you already knew what was going to happen. Yeah. There's two strikes on him. Where is the next pitch going? The next pitch after that, it will be a slider low and outside, and he will flail out.
Yeah. But to say that he didn't get a chance, I guess you could maybe make that argument about he didn't get much of a chance this year after he came back with this whole different body.
That's
he
fair.
Obviously dedicated himself to be a different type of athlete, and look what it's done. I think they made a big mistake when they said, Matt Carpenter, you're now the first baseman all the time.
Which then gets me to the second thing that I wanted to make sure I said, because this speaks to one of the narratives that I disagree with, and I want to explain why. And I might be wrong, but I want to tell you my perspective on it. This team started with Johnny Peralta, if I'm not mistaken, hitting cleanup on opening day. I was going to pull up that game box score. I could be wrong.
I think that's right.
They did.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the plan after the headed into the season.
All right, Johnny Peralta hitting cleanup. That's a losing formula. Now, here is the issue. When fans, because I think the fans can frame the message that the media, i.e. give them what they want, then spins to the public. It can be a reciprocal relationship. When fans will say, well, they can afford it. Well, of course, they'll still make money. Well, yeah, that's not how businesses work. There's a certain profit margin that's a target. It's not about, oh, well, good, we broke even this year. So that's not, respectfully, I say this, it's not how it works. And again, I now have some experience with that I didn't have when I first was on the radio. And of course, the Cardinals have the money to just DFA Johnny Peralta. What I am suggesting to you, and what I know players have said to me, but I mean, I think it would be logical once I enter this into our discussion, is if a player is given a large contract, there is an inclination on the part of the organization any organization, by the way, to make sure that the player is in the lineup. That's the way that it works. So your cost as a fan when an organization gives a player an above market value contract, i.e. Johnny Peralta, after the 2013 season, is not a cost to you as a fan outside of when and if he sucks, you will have to see him in the lineup. If Johnny Peralta were a guy who still had options and was 24 years old, Johnny Peralta would not have been on the Cardinal roster. That's the way the business of the business works. And so they expire all options with him. And I'm not talking about minor league options. I'm talking about to try and get it to work because they're paying him. And then once that doesn't work, then you finally get to a point where you go, okay, we're DFAing Johnny Peralta. He goes through waivers. And to my knowledge, he's probably playing blackjack somewhere right now.
He's in Memphis, isn't he?
So
no, he's no, you're right. He's out there.
So,
but not playing blackjack.
It's probably 50-50, honestly. So, and he hit cleanup the first two games of the season. So my point in bringing that up is, yes, as a fan, okay, go ahead and go out and spend. Go ahead and go out and spend. Well, David Price, for as bad as he's been, Jason Hayward, for as bad as he's been, Albert Pujols, when he was having his real problems in Anaheim, they're not going to like bench those guys. They just gave him a huge amount of money. And so the cost to you as a fan is different than the cost of the organization. The cost of the organization is financial, and also what it is to you as a fan, which is now this person inhabits a spot on the roster, which then takes a spot either on the roster or in the starting lineup away from somebody who could actually contribute. See Matt Adams. And so I do not share the opinion that Matt Adams was not given a fair shake. I don't. I do share the opinion that the Cardinal lineup was a mess in part because they had spent a bunch of money on Johnny Peralta, an overreaction to the debacle that was the 2013, specifically postseason, where you had the delightful Pete Cosma starting. And so you make an overcorrection that I think is emotional, and that's when you make bad business decisions. And you overpay a guy. I remember, and I'm not going to identify who did it because it's not what it's about, but I do remember Johnny Peralta's agent saying that he wanted what he wound up getting, by the way, in the first few weeks after the 2013 World Series came to a conclusion, and a prominent member of the St. Louis sports media mocked that asking price for Johnny Peralta. And that's at the point, I think, when he was coming off his year with the Tigers. I think he was with the Tigers before coming to the Cardinals. I'm still trying to figure out who manages the Braves. And then, you know, 3 days later, the Cardinals give him that, and it's like, oh, pretty good signing by the Cardinals because it's front-loaded. I'm going, what the hell just happened? You're just making fun of what the guy was doing. Now you're saying it was a good move. We got to be honest with our audiences. It's a bad move. And it didn't impact us as fans, media, financially, but it does impact roster construction in the starting lineup. And then you get to a spot where you go, well, there's no place for him to play. We'll take a guy nobody's ever heard of, because we got to try and find a spot for the guy we're paying a bunch of money. And that's how it works. And so now you go, okay, well, are there any of those potential scenarios out there with the 2017 roster? And I would say there are. Now, there are a couple that you can't move, partially because there'd be a fan riot, but also in part because of no trades with Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina. So I don't anticipate them going anywhere. The other one is Dexter Fowler, which was a deal that, yeah, I was happy to see Dexter Fowler come to St. Louis, but it was a drastic overpayment. It's way above where the Cardinals wanted to go. It was, I think, it was above what Fowler thought he was going to get. But now you're stuck with that for the next few years, while you will probably this year and probably next year be going through some semblance of a rebuild. Not necessarily an Astros level of a rebuild, because you can't, because you do have Wainwright and Molina and you do have this Fowler contract. The point is that you pay for it down the line, either on having to unload and paying for it, or by keeping the guy in the lineup when he shouldn't be in the starting lineup, and therefore costing a player who maybe should get the opportunity, the chance to actually play and be part of the major league organization. And one could potentially right now point to Carson Kelly at Memphis as an example, if you're making a business decision emotionally, i.e. Yadier Molina, and how much return on that investment you're going to get over the next couple of years, especially if the team isn't necessarily in contender mode. So that part of the Matt Adams discussion is where I'm coming from. Not that he didn't get a chance. I think, one, if you're going to approach the Matt Adams discussion by saying he didn't get a chance and the man played 428 games over the course of 4 years, you're probably not going to do yourself a real service on winning the argument. But if you do want to be critical of the organization's handling of contracts that led to Matt Adams' departure, I think that is absolutely fair. That's the end of my second monologue.
Well, I think that, as Doug said, the decision to just instill Matt Carpenter at first base and say this is going to be the way it is, no questions asked, in hindsight, maybe that should have been a more flexible situation entering the season to see what you could come up with. Now, Carpenter, it's a weird thing because Carpenter makes it sound like he's willing to play anywhere. You know, but the Cardinals make it sound like he needs to have that spot. He needs to have that home base. Now, his defense in other spots has regressed, but that kind of goes back to this mixed messages thing that I get from this team all the time. Is going into the season, it was defense and athleticism. That was really going to be the staple. Well, now they're clearly in need of offense, and they're making some decisions, a.k.a. putting Matt Adams in left field, that go against the defense and athleticism movement. So really, and I hear it too with some of the things you hear Mo say about, you know, we got to find out what we are. We got to play like we got to play to define our season in these next 6 weeks. And then you have Chad Huffman. No offense to Chad Huffman on the roster. It's like when you got these guys, young guys in Memphis, just balling, and you're going, okay, well, this team's trying to figure out what it is in this short window. Then why aren't more guys who can maybe add some snap? Why is Sierra still not here? If this is your season in this next 4 or 6 weeks, and you're going to go all in, then why aren't the guys who've shown that they can bring a breath of fresh air to this team not here? There's kind of some mixed messaging here, and that's what happens when you're trying to have success but also build, kind of, and maintain some things for the future as
so
well.
So along those lines,
2 feet in both camps.
To me, and this may drive people up the wall, I don't think Mike Matheny's job is in peril. Now, I might be wrong on that. I don't think it is.
Not this year.
And again, this is coming from somebody personally. I like the guy. We're obviously couldn't be more opposite ends of the spectrum, but I certainly respect him, even though I disagree quite often with strategic decisions, and I can't imagine John Mozeliak's job's on the line either. So therefore, and I certainly don't think Mozeliak's job should be on the line, but I also think you can be critical of some of the things that have led to this point. So with that all said, if there is an understanding from ownership that you are safe, then they can operate on, okay, let's get it back on track with a, you know, 2-year plan. If they are of the impression, one of the two or both, that one of their jobs is at risk, then you do have to try. I mean, I understand it. It's going to piss some fans off, but you're going to try and do whatever you can to save your job. And that isn't necessarily turning to Memphis or turning into sellers. So hopefully there is, because I think they've earned it, in particular Mozeliak, the ability to have a form of a rebuild without firing people.
I get the sense that, and I don't know, maybe the fans who are more forward-thinking in terms of rolling things and looking ahead at the next season and the one after that are more vocal, but I almost get the sense that if you put a poll out there of all the Cardinals fans, that they would say, look, you know, what we don't want you to do is try to wring everything you can out of this team for this season, make deals that are better for next year and the year after that. It seems like a lot of fans, to me, have already said, look, we're done with this season, which is interesting because we're not to the All-Star break
yet. It's very rare here. That's
we're spoiled as a fan base, too. I don't think either one of their jobs, Mozeliak or Matheny, should be in play or should be in question for all the success they've had over the recent years. They've just had a case where the whole team just kind of, some key players got old. You know, Wainwright has gotten old. Some of the other guys just aren't giving anything close to what they thought they were going to get from him. It would probably be better if they were 11 or 12 games out right now. Then they would say, okay, now's the time to break
I know.
But when you're four out,
that's not going to happen.
And nobody else in the division is doing
a
darn thing.
I mean,
you're not going to say
like with the Braves, you're kind of like, yeah, they'll move Matt Adams when Freddie Freeman comes back before they talked about, or Freeman talked about, moving to third base last night. Why? Because the Braves aren't contenders. Well, guess what? The Braves have a better record than the Cardinals. As weird as that might sound, that's a fact. So if you had a division other than this one, and in the American League Central, it looks like there's starting to be some form of a couple teams getting it going. Who knows? I don't know how good they are. But if you were any other division, it'd be a lot easier to turn the page, so to speak. Because I think, especially, one of the reasons why You know, even though it's become a running joke, and part of it, it might be just a flaw of St. Louis, that there isn't a whole lot else going on, so people watch a lot of baseball. There's a recognition of when a team is good and when a team is not. Also, when a team is exciting and when a team is not. And for as weird as it might be to many other places around the country, this market, because people are so intensely loyal to the team and follow it so closely, also has an appreciation for when the game is played well. And this game that this 2017 Cardinal team is playing is not played well. There was yet another base running mistake last night.
Two.
Isn't it just I mean, it's amazing. It's like you got to set the over-under at one each night.
And that's not the third base's coach's fault. That's not the manager's fault. That's just lousy instincts on the part of the player. When you're at second base, like Paul DeJong, and a guy hits a line drive to the right fielder, you don't start running.
And they threw it to first base first.
Yes.
And he still wasn't able to get back. He had rounded third with his head down. It was so bad. They threw a bad throw to first base and still had time to get him out at second.
You'd be mad at your 10-year-old son for doing that in Little League if he just took off running.
We got a break. Come back and carry the discussion over. Doug, now see, some people don't like when you have these opinions about you, I guess it's me. Congrats, you lost another listener. I used to listen every weekday morning. I no longer will.
And that's based on what?
What have we been talking
sports
about?
Sports talk. Yeah, they don't like it.
Oh.
No, they don't like criticism of the Cardinals. It's a weird thing. I mean, I guess I understand it, but, you know, I mean, I don't think none of this was personal. It's just an assessment of the team, and it's coming from somebody who, you know, got into this business because I loved the Cardinals, you know, albeit it was 25 years ago, but it's also, I just feel like, you know, the obligation is to give my honest opinion. It doesn't mean I'm right. It's just, I think it's, you know, and again, I also recognize why some people can't give their honest opinion. And I'm not mad about that because I was in that same position when I had to be down at Busch Stadium and get sound bites and all that crap as well. But I don't have any, you know, need for that. I'm just giving you my honest. And I don't think if Mazalak or anybody, Bill DeWitt III were listening to us, I don't think they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that or he said that. Because it's all a professional assessment. It's not, Mike Matheny sucks. He's this and that. It's not that at all. You know, it's just, I just don't think the team's very good. That's it. I don't really think that's the hottest of takes either. I think it's rather obvious. Design Air is the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour, serving the St. Louis area since 1904, the number one train dealer in Missouri. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth generation owner operators and really do care about their customers. You can have a technician come out and make sure you're ready for another St. Louis summer. Doug, today is the old solstice.
Yeah, longest day of the year.
Their techs have an average of over 26 years of experience and more training with train systems than any other dealer in the area. Support the sponsors, and we highly recommend Design Air Heating and Cooling. Make sure to mention you listen to TMA, as Design Air is now donating a portion of all sales from our audience to Three Little Birds for Life. 314-739-1600 or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.